Welcome to episode 140 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a run to PB coach and member of the Bendigo Bats. And I'm joined by the man who was too fast for me yet again, Gels Park, racing for the Melbourne Uni crew, Zach and Ewan. How are you, mate?
Okay, well, Chris, sorry, I'm going a bit better than the last time we caught up, although it took me, you were straight over to the 10 and I just finished and I was dizzy. I was seeing stars and you were trying to have a conversation to me and I couldn't, I don't know what I was saying back to you, but it took a while for me to get my bearings, but I'm much better now. I'm recovered and looking forward to hearing about your experience. I know we had a bit of a warm down, so we can talk through that and got a big show as well, mate. We've got a special guest coming in.
We do. We've got Laura Curlin, one of SOS athletes, going to come across and have a chat. A bit of overseas marathon talk, mate, sort of a few results to recap in London. And geez, there wouldn't be an episode unless we had a chat about a few world records as well, hey?
Yeah, well, when you got a major marathon going down, it's just, it always throws up an opportunity for people to get out there and, break a few records. And we had one of our listeners, I think it was Mel, that sent it through, tagged us in a link that I think Runners World were pushing out some of the records that we're going through that were being attempted, I should say. And yeah, we can have a bit of a chat about that.
There's some good ones. And admittedly, they've given us a top 10 list because there was some stuff that didn't even make the cut.
Yeah.
So now looking forward to going into that in a bit more detail later on.
Mate, Gels Park. I was trying to, you ran it last year, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah. I did. I suffered through it last year.
Yeah.
Did you notice much of the course change?
I don't think I visibly felt or visibly noticed it too much, other than that this time the sun was out and last year it wasn't.
So yeah, that's
nice. Nice not being slapped in the face with sideways rain. But I don't know, this year it felt just a little bit easier. But in saying that, I paced myself a lot better. So that could have been a big part of why that felt a bit easier. But I think even just having the course being dry, it just felt a bit better underfoot for me.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't have to work as hard getting around corners or I guess last year I ran third in our relay team. So the course was a little bit boggy in some spots, whereas this time sort of starting off nice and fresh. I got the best part of the course.
You had the red carpet for the first lap. So.
Oh, mate, it was amazing. Literally 2 minutes into it, you could already see a groove into the track where everyone had gone. So,
yeah.
But no,
how was it on the start line? Because it's a pretty epic start. Having all the teams lined up and then I guess they roll off in sort of minute waves.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, actually. I started in the over 40s section and we were in there with the under 20 men and the under 18s.
Oh, that's handy. The young whippets just going out.
I'm looking around.
Straight away.
You've just got to get out nice and controlled. Don't do anything silly. And I'm looking around at all these guys who are 40 plus and they look just absolutely fit as. I'm sort of sitting there going, I'm just feeling very inferior at the moment. And then looking at these kids and I'm just like, they're absolutely going to paste me off the line. And then I had a look behind to see who was behind me. And I'm thinking, well, geez, there's some very, very fit people behind me as well. So I could get absolutely swamped here. But it's
straight up into a hill.
Yeah. Like there's not many races you start where you're sort of halfway up a hill. Straight away, I was thinking, the further back in the division you are, the more of the hill you've got to run at the start. So
that's true.
Felt a bit jibbed when I decided to take the first leg. But no, it was really cool. It genuinely felt like a race. And it was interesting because I don't know. I felt like I was going okay, and I felt like I had a pretty good day out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon I passed barely anyone. I got cleaned up by, well, I didn't say cleaned up, I got overtaken at a rate of knots by kids, under 18s, under 20s. I had people over 40 absolutely streaming off into the distance. I think the fastest guy in our over 40 section that went first, he ran 19 something. So absolutely dusted me. But I had Gemma. So I had a 1 minute head start on Gemma. And she absolutely torched me. It only took her 4Ks to catch me, and then she just continued to absolutely blow by me.
Beast on the cross country. Yeah.
She is amazing.
Two-time world cross country rep. So yeah. She knows how to get around.
Definitely.
But look, I mean, yeah. Chris, you're selling yourself. I mean, this is the best athletics league in the country. Like, you've got Olympians going around. It is deep. Like, and they're the best juniors. It's just, it's sort of hard to put yourself, it's very easy to kind of be a bit hard on yourself in these things because you just get so many, the depth is insane.
And to be fair, Gemma wasn't the only lady I got a minute head start on that cleaned me up. So listeners might be familiar with Abby Caldwell. Well, she gave me an absolute hiding too. She passed me before Gemma did. Abby ran around 20 minutes. So I had Lyndon Hall starting up in front of me. And then, Abby Caldwell on the start line as well. So that was really cool. I didn't actually realise at the time, but, yeah, that's how quick she was moving. But, no, it was good. It was a great day. And you're right. You've got Olympians out there. People have been to World Championships, Commonwealth Games, and then they let people like me run. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
You're more than worthy to be out there. Everyone's welcome to be out there. And that's what's so good about it is you're seeing a lot of, big numbers and people just getting out there and enjoying and involving themselves in the relay. And there's something about the relays that it's hard to switch off in a relay. Like, you've just got the pressure, whether you're going first or last or in the middle. Once you get that hand over, it's like you can't sort of sleep in the middle, Ks. Like, yeah, you can have a tough one, but then you know that your team's relying on you, and you're also looking ahead. Is that someone that I should be trying to catch? And is that, you're looking at the number, working out, hey, are they in our competition? And there's something about a relay, and you just go for it, and it's just effort. I don't think I looked at my watch throughout the whole thing. I had no idea what pace I was. I thought I was going a lot faster than I was.
Yeah.
And I just literally got across the line, stopped watch, and then was like, oh, okay, I'll take that. I don't know what that meant from last year, but I'll take it. And even that first K, I mean, look at yours. You got out at like 3:33s and was pretty consistent. Like, your last K was a 3:31. You absolutely, you torched me in the last K.
Yeah, and I think I probably was a touch conservative through the middle stages. And in saying that, like, when I say conservative, like, I got 3:33 to start off and then a 3:32, 3:31, 3:32 to finish. But in the middle, it was all sort of 39s, 38s, 37s.
Mm.
So probably just eased back a fraction. But that was just to make sure that I could still run the uphill pretty strongly.
Yeah.
I was saying to Anna on our run yesterday that it was funny, like, running on the downhills, I was getting sort of caught by a lot of the people, especially some of the Division One ladies. But on the uphills, that's where I tended to get away and sort of do my better work. So, yeah, it was funny how it sort of evened out that maybe I'm a little bit stronger.
Did you get into a battle with anyone? Like, were you able to stick with someone for an extended amount of time, or was it pretty much time trialing?
Pretty much time trialing in a sense, because in the first lap, I probably just had people get away, especially those that got out pretty strong. And in the second lap, I had a chance to sort of reel a few people in, but I might have caught 4 or 5 over that second lap, so, which was nice. But there was a lot of people that went off into the distance that I did not see again. So, yeah, but, in saying that, I'm super happy with how I went. I wasn't really too worried about a time. I was just trying to, I guess, hope that I was running at around 10K effort, because I think last year I got a bit excited and told myself, 6K is really just a long 5K. You'll be right. just run it at 5K effort. And I realized coming up the hill at 3K that was a stupid idea. So we changed tack this year, and I think that worked a lot better.
Now, I think that's, you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, I think treating this more closer to the 10 than a 5K track, you're doing 6K cross. It's hilly, like, and you just don't get any rhythm on that course. It's just you're just constantly changing direction, or you've got a sweeping bend, or you're looking at just, small hills where you just kind of got to work, and then the downhills as well kind of disrupt the rhythm. So I think that's a good way to look at that race. I probably should take your advice, because I went out at pretty much a 5K effort first K.
Within 10, that's what we went out. About.
Yeah, that was ringing in my head. I know you and Soph had mentioned go out within 10, and I was, in comparison, so you were out in 3:33, I was out in 3:24.
Well, that was pretty much our gap. That's because you beat me by about 10, 11 seconds.
Yeah, but then you were like 3:39 through your second K. I was 3:34, so I was 10 seconds difference off my first, from K1 to 2. And then we pretty much were even from there. I was 3:39 through the third K. You were 3:37, 3:38 versus 3:41. So you're peeling me back. And then we actually were the same K pace for the fifth K, 3:37. Yep. And the last, you've launched, you're at 3:31. It's not an easy K.
No, because that's the finish, like straight back up the hill. So
Yeah, I was gone for all money. I was 3:35, just hanging on, groaning, and looked at the lake, considered just running straight into it. Just, I was not in a good way.
Oh, mate. I remember finishing and literally had sweat pouring into my eyes.
It was humid, wasn't it?
It was like I was being funneled out of a hose. It was running that hard. And poor old Darren, who I was trying to give my bibs to, he's like, yeah, you take the front one off. And like, I couldn't even see my bib. I had my eyes closed. I'm jamming the bloody safety pins into my thumb. I can't see at all. And then it's eventually taken me a good 5 or 6 minutes to take my front bib off. And he's like, yeah, you just put that one around the back. I'm like, oh, bloody hell. It took me really just as long to pin it in.
Putting the numbers on. Yeah. It's just, I guess it's part of the experience of, cross country running is all the stuff, the nerves of you getting there early, trying to time your warm up. Like if you're not doing the first leg, you're considering, okay, when's my teammate going to come in, and I've got to be ready. And then putting on the 85 pins you've got to have on and running around, like it's sort of a rite of passage as a runner to do these cross country events, I think.
No, it was great fun. I think I mentioned to you, getting ready to warm up about an hour before and got all the bibs. And I actually had a nervous moment trying to put my four bibs on under my singlet, thinking, geez, I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to put bibs on and do a warm up.
I watched Kiwi Steve. He took nearly an hour to get his sorted. The guy's 25 degrees, can't put a bib on.
Oh, mate, I'm pretty pedantic about having my bibs on straight, but it got to the point where I didn't give a stuff.
No, I just wanted straight bibs out there.
It was awful. It was a bit of abstract art by the end. So, it was good to get it on. But
you wear the spikes?
Yeah, wore spikes. So very happy with that choice because, just the dragonflies are so forgiving. I know I probably preach it to you every time, but you really should invest in a pair just to give them a try, and maybe not necessarily for cross country, but they're so kind, they really are. Any other spike, I think this is the first time though after an AV event where I've worn the spikes where I haven't needed an anti-inflammatory, just because my body's trash most of the time. Really happy with the job the spikes did. What about yourself, mate?
I went the streets.
Yes.
Yeah. At the street. This is how bad. I was telling Matt Mattress and Brady were asking what I was going to wear, and I said, "Oh, I've got waffles." And then I looked at them like, "I don't actually have waffles. They're streets." So like, Salmon and Shoe Dog will kill me for mixing up these names. But I'm not a Shoe Dog, and I would have. I was happy with the choice, to be honest. I pulled up really good from it. And that was probably not for me. That's a big thing. And I didn't notice any, like, going down the hills. I actually was pretty, a bit more aggressive than I thought I would. Because even just walking around over the hills, I was not ginger, but I wasn't moving that well. I was thinking, how am I going to, you know, push? Once you get going, once you warm up, adrenaline's there and you can push. And I was fine. And the fact that the next day I pulled up and ran long and ran a bit longer than usual, a little bit faster, that's probably the best sign for me is getting through it. And, you know, I'll take away that for me it was just really happy with the effort. Well, close, mate. I was 21:40 or 39 officially, I believe.
Yeah, I think I was 21:49, 21:50.
Yeah.
And yeah, clutching at straws. At the end of the day, mate, you're undefeated. You're still undefeated.
I'm worried though. Albert Park, it's coming. And looking at the way you close and your strength at the back end,
I'm really interested to see how we go on the roads. I think roads are definitely your strong suit. So I'm really going to have to be within eyesight or cheering sight in that sort of 6 or 7K mark and let you know I'm about to sort of put some pressure on. But
do you reckon you could go out at sub 35 or 35? Like your PB's 34 high?
Yeah, no, yeah, 35 low.
Or 35 is
my PB for 10. And to be honest, probably my training, I think, shows I'm probably in 36 something shape. But okay, I haven't run a proper 10K, like a hard 10K since wellness a couple of years ago. So I don't know.
I reckon at Elwood Park, yeah.
I'd love to get in a group and just see. I think there's a little bit of room for these shoes. Maybe there's some performance improvement there.
Well, yeah, that's not without the with the alphas.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's a couple of minutes there with the
alphas. Well, maybe, but I'm sort of hoping shoes and a taper. If I could run sub 36, I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
Because I've only done that 3 times in my whole life. So
yeah,
I'm traditionally 10K is probably my weakest event. So
I could just, yeah. Well, why don't you just follow your tactic and just go out with intent, and we'll go out at 35 dead pace. And
we'll 3:30s till we drop.
Andy won't be listening. Coach Andy won't be. So he's still celebrating his marathon effort. So I reckon we'll just do that.
We'll just go 3:30s and survival of the fittest, and we'll see. But
there's a lot of carnage at the back end of Albert Park for people going out with this tactic. So do we join that party? It's not fun. It's not a fun way to finish a 10K.
No, especially on the track with legs. But
doesn't come down to a sprint finish.
If it comes down to a sprint finish and we're both spent, we might have to crawl the last 100 metres.
Oh, gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, white flag. Yeah. We'll just wave it.
No, that'll be cool. No, I'm looking forward to it. Like, you know, we've got a couple of weeks now to lock in and get some work under the belt.
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
So
yeah, okay, really need to cram now.
Yeah. Mate, just like a year 12 exam, got to pack that shit in. So
doing triples.
Yeah, that's it. Triples during the week. Going to do a super session tomorrow. 30K long run on the weekend. I'm going to be set for next week.
Yeah. I'm actually keen to just, I was chatting to Al about it, is just do a bit more of that 10K specific work over the next, you know, this 10K, it's probably a bit close for me to really do, to sort of take on probably what I've, like, you know, done in the last 2-3 weeks. Like, obviously the gels would have brought me forward, but you know, the last couple of weeks I've started to get into a good groove, so I'll probably need 2 weeks, the race, and then I think I'll go up another level. I'm on the edge. Like, I feel like I'm on the edge to break through. I think for me personally, sub 35 would be a big tick.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 35:30, 35:20 off where I'm at, and then I think I can put 6 weeks together to try and go as close to sub 34 at Gold Coast. That's where I'm sort of at.
I like the sound of that.
I mean, this time, I was looking back at it because I was thinking, she ran 10 seconds slower than Gels. But then by Gold Coast, I think Gels was similar time. I ran 33.12. So I think, it's 2 minutes off, like to sort of take off in 6 weeks, 7 weeks. That's a bit of a stretch, but I'm up for the challenge.
No, that's it. I think, if we can get a nice day at Albert Park next weekend, who knows? There's going to be hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
Big packs to work with. And I tell you what, if the atmosphere is anything like it was on Saturday, it's going to be amazing. So,
Have you got any of your athletes? I've got a few of mine who are non AV members, but they're coming along because you can enter as an invite.
Not at Albert Park, but at Bendigo, you might be taking a bus.
Mm.
There's a small bus, not a large bus.
Yeah.
But yeah, it might be getting a bus over of some Shepparton athletes, hopefully.
Awesome. Nah, looking forward to it, mate. We've got a couple of weeks to get ourselves going, and no doubt there'll be some more chat race week as to whether I can talk you into jumping on the 35-minute bus.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. We'll see. We'll chat over the next week. Zaka, this week, mate, not only do we have a quality athlete, but we've got a quality person, one of Sophie Fitt's athletes. And Soph's taken a bit of time just to, I guess, give us a bit of a background. So this is straight from Soph. So Laura is a dynamo. She's got a terrific attitude and a hunger for hard training, a unique kind of tenacity, but above all, and probably the most important trait for a distance runner, an understanding of the process. Laura knows it takes time and commitment, and that nothing special happens quickly. So therefore, learning to love the monotony of the daily grind is where all the beauty of running lies. Her performances have gone from strength to strength, and whilst I'm significantly more impressed by her attitude than her results, winning the Burger Run 10K earlier this year was a seriously cool achievement because, as we all know, beating every single competitor on any given day is tough. Laura is a pleasure to coach, and a delight to know. I couldn't be more proud of her, nor more grateful she's a member of the Run to PB family. Laura Curlin, welcome to the Better of Running podcast. How are you, mate?
Thank you. I'm very good. And that was a beautiful intro. Thank you, Sophie. I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're going really well. It's podcast night. It's the best night of the week.
We are excited to have you on. And just to hearing that intro, and I know Soph has talked to us about you a number of times throughout, like off air, all positive things, but we thought you're a really prime example of, I guess, the running Run to PB community. And when we started as coaching, to see someone achieve what they have and to grow as a runner, and yeah, just to see what you've been able to achieve, it's really cool from the outside. I guess tonight we wanted to maybe dig a little bit deeper and find out a bit more about your running and share it with some of the listeners. And I guess for the standard one is how did you actually get into running? Because a lot of the Run to PB athletes have come from quite different backgrounds, and yeah, I'd be interested to know how you got into running.
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very lucky to have Soph. She's been amazing and so helpful over the past. I've only been coached for about just over a year now. So that's been awesome. But I first started running, I guess, like all through school. I didn't really run, but I did a lot of your typical sport like netball and tennis and that sort of thing. So I was always pretty active. Didn't love netball, really liked tennis. So I played that probably till I was like maybe 20. But the biggest thing that I did all through primary school and high school was dancing. So I did a lot of like ballet, jazz, tap, all those types of dance. And I was doing that sort of maybe 4-5 nights a week. So it was like pretty big commitment. So I kind of, maybe that's where like my dedication to running comes from a little bit. And then, yeah, went to uni, had all those party years, and then I kind of just a few friends of mine, because I was living in Melbourne, they did a few fun runs, like 10K runs and things like that. And I thought, oh, I'll try doing a 10K run, but I'll never like want to go any further. And yeah, I kind of just got hooked, like probably from my early 20s onwards. So I was maybe about 21 when I did my first half marathon, and just, yeah, did it for fun. Some years I was a bit more into it than others, but then probably in the last 3 years, I've definitely just gotten really committed, and I just, yeah, really, really love it. And it's kind of my priority nowadays. So yeah, that's probably how it all began, really. Mm. Seems like a long time ago.
With the, I guess, the journey you mentioned, it's really just been those last 12 months that you've been working with Soph. But what are some of the valuable things that you've learned that have sort of really made a big difference to your running journey?
I think like definitely learning to like respect the process a little bit more, and just having like the right recipe, I suppose, in my training has been a massive help. So yeah, I guess like despite the fact that I might have been plodding along for like 10 or 12 years, I definitely feel like having Soph has just made all the world of difference. Like I sort of, now I feel like I can just keep improving, and there's a lot more improvement to kind of be had. Whereas prior to that, it was sort of just like, it was just a fun thing that I kind of did. So yeah, I think just learning, and definitely learning about just sort of committing to what might feel a bit monotonous, I suppose, it actually, the more consistent you are, the better you'll be in the long run. So yeah, and just listening to her, because she, everything she's kind of told me to do along the way has helped. So yeah, I've just got so much respect for her opinion and what she thinks, so I like to ask her, because she's definitely yeah, definitely a good guide there, that's for sure.
She's a wealth of information, Soph. And you clock up sort of 50-60 k's a week, and a lot of that's alone. And I know you're based, are you based out sort of Dalesford way, is that right?
I'm near, you could kind of say that, I'm from near Echuca, so a little, I'm from Rochester, but living in Corop at the moment, which is where I grew up. So it's sort of central to like Shepparton, Echuca, Bendigo. Yeah, central really.
So yeah, that means you're out obviously doing a lot of training out by yourself. And how do you go about doing that? And how do you go with motivation and even just running along a lot of those, your Strava shows you run a lot of straight roads, and how does it all go?
Straight lines. Well, early days I used to run a lot with my little sister Hannah. So that was kind of, we got motivated together like in our sort of early 20s, and then she moved away to uni and that sort of thing. So and I just don't really have many friends that run like up this way, so I've just kind of gotten used to it, and I actually quite enjoy it, to be honest. Like I think because I work in a job where I'm talking all day and I have to be really on and that sort of thing, and I'm with kids, so I've got to be very upbeat, so it's sort of nice to have that alone time. It whether it be before or after work, so it sort of, I don't mind it, I think I'm just used to it. But I am really excited to do some running with your group, Chris, because at the same time I do like being around other runners and running with other people, because it's just so motivating. So yeah, it's probably just a bit, I'm just used to it.
And I guess being able to do it in your own time and when you can fit it in also helps when you're doing things by yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And as straight as the roads are, it's very pretty out here. So it kind of, you know, you might find a big block to do and it's still very scenic and very pretty. So So I somehow managed to keep doing it. Hopefully I will for a long time yet.
For those people that probably don't live within half an hour of where you live, mate, they probably haven't heard of Corop before, but what would the population actually be of where you live, just to educate people?
It wouldn't even be 100. Like,
wow.
It's got one street. It used to have a shop, but not anymore. It's all shut down. So there's like quite a few, it's more of a farming community, I suppose. So lots of big cropping and livestock farms around. So often I'll be running along and a big like header or a cedar or something will drive past me.
Wow.
But yeah, pretty, I mean, we're not that far from Echuca and yeah, probably about 45, 50 minutes from Shepparton. So it's not that far, but in terms of running, it's pretty isolating, but
yeah.
I kind of like that. So yeah.
With obviously Sophie would have given you some amazing sessions over the last 12 months. You've got a bit more of a longer distance focus at the moment, but what are some of your favorite sessions that you like to do?
I love doing sort of a bit of like she does combo workouts for me sometimes, which I really like. So it might have like maybe 20 minute warm up and then 10 minutes of tempo, and then it might have some efforts with some recoveries and then a bit more tempo and then a cool down. So I quite like that because it's sort of changing all the time and I've got a bit of recovery in there. And I don't find it as overwhelming as, like, say, if I say K reps, I'm just, like, I see it written down and I'm just overwhelmed straight away. But yeah. I know I can do it, but that is, I guess, something I don't enjoy as much. So, yeah, just things that look a bit easier on paper, I suppose. Yeah.
Was it a big change from when you were running without a coach where you would, like just sort of going on the fly or making up as you go, and now is it taking the guesswork out, or like how have you found having prescribed every day what you do?
Yeah, it wasn't, I guess, a bit of a change in terms of like sessions, because I'd never really done them, so that was all really new to me. And I actually at the start I really loved them because it was just something different and I guess not as boring, like you're kind of changing and thinking all the time, so that's what I really liked about that. But yeah, I do love it. Does take the guesswork out of it, and I just like I can just look at, you know, what I've got on for that day and go out and do it rather than thinking, oh, maybe I should be doing like a longer run tomorrow. And you know, sometimes you would just sort of shorten it because you couldn't be bothered or whatever. But now just I'm better at sticking to it. Like I'm better at actually hitting the mileage I need to through the week because it's written down for me and I don't have to think. So I love that side of it because I can just be told and I just go ahead and do it, which is awesome. Yeah.
All right, so you've got a Great Ocean Road half marathon coming up, and how are things going? Because you know we're gearing up, we're in late April, so it's not far off. Excited? How's the training going?
Yes, I'm excited. I love that run so much. I did the full marathon last year and I really enjoyed it because it's just so scenic, like probably not the easiest course, but yeah, it's so lovely. So I'm just doing the half this year and I feel like, yeah, definitely ready, like in terms of the distance and that sort of thing. Not like, I don't know, I was probably a little bit more confident a couple of weeks ago about like time-wise how I would go. And then I had a time trial on the weekend and it just didn't go as well as I thought it would. So I don't know, I just wasn't feeling that great on Sunday. But then again, Soph and I have sort of talked about Great Ocean Road just being like enjoyable anyway. Yeah. So it's not going to be a PB or anything like that. So I think my aim will just be to enjoy the view really, because that's what it's all about. It's
a beautiful course. And just doing the build up alone and the process of training for an event and lining up, you gain so much from that. And you know, every race doesn't have to be a PB, or you know, it's very, very hard to keep PBing. So I think getting to the line is the key, and getting through that block of training.
And that's probably something I'm still sort of like learning as well a little bit. Like, not, I guess early days you kind of just PB every time, and then it kind of gets to the point where you're like, oh no, like, you know, this one can just be a training run, and this like because it's harder to keep doing that. So yeah, that's another thing I guess I'm learning as well, just having a coach. And so I'm trying to sort of get my head around, you know, it doesn't have to be an awesome time. You can just enjoy it. And I've got a couple of, like, my little sister's doing it too. So it'll be nice to do it with her as well.
Nice social weekend as well, Hey, Chriso, you got a few of your famous quickfire questions?
Yeah, I do. So looking forward to asking these and just finding a little bit more about Laura. But first off, mate, for your watch, Garmin or Coros, what are you wearing?
Oh, Garmin.
Garmin. Garmin.
I feel like everyone says Garmin.
No, it's and there's a reason. And there's also a reason why we don't ask or Apple Watch as well. So
yeah, definitely not Apple. Yeah, that sends everything.
That's just a hard no.
I say that to so many of my friends and I cop it about that when I say they're no good for running.
No, it's all right. Good. Big tick for that one. iPhone or Android?
iPhone. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I'm used to.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Good choice. Half tights or shorts?
Shorts.
Shorts. Yeah. Yep.
I get sad when it comes into winter and I have to put tights on. So shorts. Yeah. Nah,
good stuff. Favorite running sock?
I've got lots of Steigens. I do like them.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. So I'll go with those.
Righto. No, it's okay. All righty. Now, this will be an interesting one for you. Track, road or trails?
Oh, well, as you know, Chris, I didn't even know how far it was around a track. So I haven't tried a track, so I can't comment. But... I don't know. I think road for racing because it's just generally a bit flatter and a bit easier. Never done a trail race. But I do love trails just for like every day, like a long run and that sort of thing because it's just nice to be out in nature and enjoyable. So, yeah, depends on the purpose, I suppose.
Because you're a bit of a fan of the Surf Coast Century Trails as well, I believe. Mm.
I am, not that I've ever done it, but I lived down there for a while and so I love running along the coast and one of my really good friends is from down there, so she loves it even more than me, but just sort of you forget you're running after a while because you can just get out and enjoy the view, I suppose, which is probably why I like Great Ocean Road as well because it's so scenic and things aren't as hard, I feel, when you're on the trail.
Yeah, when you've got like scenery and you can just out in nature, you just roll along on the trails. There's something just different about your it just seems to make it a lot easier. Just on the track, are you, as Grano Chris, I'll probably start putting the hard word on you to get out and try the Shepparton 3k out of 5k at some point in summer. Is there a curiosity to hit the track at some point?
Yeah, I would like to give it a go. Like I've never, I've never done it, but I did. I find short runs really hard. I find them hard. I did the Echuca Moama Triathlon, like the team one. And I did the 5K run and I just like blew up. Like I just, I don't know, I just went too hard and then I was like, oh, this is really hard. Like, I'm struggling. Yeah. But I guess I just need to learn a bit about it, I suppose. Like it's another one of those things. So yes, maybe, Chris, I will give it a go.
Just, it could be a fresh set of PBs just waiting to happen. Yeah. So.
Could be, which would be fun.
That's how I'm going to sell it to you. So, lots of fun to be had. Hey, morning or evening runs? I know you get a chance to do both, but what do you prefer?
Definitely prefer mornings just because I just generally feel better when I'm running in the mornings. And I just love watching the sunrise, but at the moment it's dark for my whole morning run. And I have sort of been just sort of doing more in the afternoons. I'm doing a bit of both at the moment, just depending what my day looks like or how I've slept the night before. Through summer, I'm usually in a good routine of morning runs. But, in winter, I'm a bit sort of all over the place. So
see what happens tomorrow. Is that head torch in the dark in the morning?
Yeah. Because I'm out, like, on the country roads. And I don't – when I was in Rochester, I had street lights. So it was a pretty, it was fine. But out here, it's pitch black. So
I've got you're on the shoulder of the road facing the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go, it's a lot of back roads, like dirt roads. So I don't generally see any traffic. If I do, it's like I'm driving past. But it's generally pretty I generally see no one. Wow. So I stay off the highway or anywhere like that because like that's not very safe. But yes, I do prefer mornings when I can get up. Yeah.
Very contrasting for me because I'm used to like trying to go to the tan, whereas like I would love if there's like I didn't see 100 people for a run, but usually you see 500 to 1,000 in a run. Like it's just crazy the difference of being around in the city and running and just trying to picture running in complete darkness and having your head torch and not seeing anyone for a whole 50-minute run is pretty crazy.
So,
Laura, if you actually did see someone out on a run running towards you, would you freak out?
I would absolutely freak out. I'd be really scared. Like, who's this? I'm the only person that runs in
because this is my town.
Yeah, literally. And there's no Strava segments because nobody, no one
runs. Well, you can create them and you just have all the CRs.
And I'll just win them all.
Yeah.
You'd be the local legend, you'd hold the crown, and just be absolutely everything.
You're on to something, guys. Yeah. I might have to do that. Yes,
until Michael Turnahan finds out.
Saw someone out here.
Between you and your sister will be throwing down on the segments out at Cora. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah. When I can convince her to come home from Melbourne, she's a bit like you, Zaka. You probably run past me around the tan occasionally.
Yeah.
If I start some segments, she might come home more. So that could be a good tactic.
Good incentive, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Laura, this is probably the most important question. It's caused a bit of, contention over the last couple of weeks, but we love this one. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I knew you were going to ask me this. I find it so hard because it really depends on my mood or, like, what I feel like.
Do you have a specialty?
I'm not much of a cook, but I do love a good pasta bake, chicken and tomatoes and just a nice pesto-y type pasta bake. I probably actually have that once a week, so
nice. Well, that leads me to the next one. It's becoming
Chris is trying to build a cookbook here.
It's a 2-week tradition that we've just started, and people have been fairly receptive to it. But is there a chance we could get a picture of you pasta bake in your Strava when you make it next?
Yes, Chris, I can do that for you.
A lot of pressure.
I will make sure.
Don't have to go full Kiwi Steve and throw the recipe in there because we were taking the piss out of him when we said that and he did do it. So that was lovely.
He's pretty happy. He got one more follower as well.
He did. Someone deliberately signed up. Oh, sorry, not signed up, but like followed him on Strava so they could see if he did post the photo of his mac and cheese. And they commented on it. So.
I can't promise a recipe, but I can do a photo.
Nice.
I'll have it there within the next 7 days.
I look forward to seeing that just out of curiosity because, mate, I was a huge pasta bake fan while I was an apprentice landscape gardener because a bit of mince and tomato paste and a whole lot of cheese, and that was a perfect meal for me. We'd eat that for 3 days. It was amazing.
That's why I like it because it's
good
just
leftover meal, yeah.
Yep. And then you've got food for the next few days.
Do you reckon it gets better as each day goes past once you get to about 3 or 4 days?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I genuinely do. It's like one of those few foods that tastes better as leftovers.
Anything more than 7, though, and it does tail off a little bit. So.
Depends how big the bake is, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you'd get food poisoning from that, but. Yeah.
Allegedly, yes.
Yeah.
No, definitely don't keep it in the fridge for 7 days or longer. Favorite runner? Who's your favorite runner? And why? Do you have one?
I have so many that
they don't have to be anyone famous. This is very much open to who's your favorite runner?
Look, obviously Sophie is up there. Like, goes without.
You're gonna get an easy week now.
Yeah. thank you. So, no, for my birthday, she's like, here you go, have a 2-hour run. And I was like,
that's yeah, that sounds age. Like so.
No, I do. Like, she is amazing. I thought, like, even, you know, running that marathon last year after having a baby less than a year ago, incredible. And I think it's just, you know, I guess for, like, me being a woman in her 30s, like, I worry about having children and, you know, the comeback from that. And it's not, like, it's just awesome to see that you can come back and still keep running and keep running well. So, she's amazing. All the respect for Sophie. And another runner that I'm really enjoying following at the moment is Izzy Bat-Doyle. I just really, she's awesome. Like, she just seems to keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
So I love following her. She's pretty incredible, but there's so many of them. So it's sort of hard to choose one favorite. Obviously, Andy. He did amazingly. That was very impressive. So,
just interested because you got into the sport. So how are you consuming this running media? Like, have you kind of just, you know, you started getting into the running and then you started following along via Strava or via Instagram or podcasts? Like, how are you able to keep up with it all?
I follow mostly on Instagram and some on Strava as well. And just like listening to podcasts, you hear, you know, you guys talking to different people and you start following them. And it's just nice to like hear lots of different people's journeys and stories and like, you know, injuries that people have come back from and that sort of thing. Like, it's very inspiring. And I'm just reading a lot of books and all I read at the moment is books about running. I don't really read anything.
What are you reading at the moment? The only ones I
finish. I just finished Good for a Girl. That one was by Lauren Fleshman. That was really good.
I've heard about this.
Yeah. It was really interesting. I loved it.
Pretty out there, some pretty, a lot of revelations, I think, pretty saucy stuff in there about some of the setup in the US and some of the coaches and all the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like things you wouldn't even think would sort of happen. But not so hard in some ways. It was definitely read it. It's interesting. And I've just started this one called Out of Thin Air. It's about this guy, I think he's Mark, I think his name is. Or he goes over to Ethiopia and trains like 8 months. Or Kenya, but I've only just started it, so I'm like 10 pages in. So I feel like it'll be good though, be interesting.
We'll log into Strava in a few weeks and we'll see you over in Etan or in Kenya. You've got that excited, you've gone over there to do some training, follow suit.
Yeah, I'll go over and do a camp over there. I don't think I would survive. Would be amazing.
Couple more to go, mate. Favorite shoes?
I am a big fan of Asics at the moment. I went off them and now I'm back on them. I like the Nova Blast just for like easy running. And then I still just wear like Nike Vaporflies if I've got fast sessions or races and things like that. They're the ones that seem to sit well with me. So haven't dabbled much in those shoes though.
No, that's all right. Good shot.
Good things there. Yeah.
Favorite running podcast?
Obviously this one. I am most loyal. I like this one. I don't listen to many podcasts, but I sort of had a bit of a listen to the one that Eloise Wellings and Rory Darkins do,
Marathon State. Yeah,
that's good. It's got a lot of like you know, information around like mental training and that sort of thing, which is nice. And for the kudos, I listened to one of those the other day that had Ali Pashley on it, which was good.
Yep.
But I don't sort of listen to podcasts that much, just when I have time.
That's right. Last one, mate. So this will be interesting because I know how fond you are of your straight lines and training alone in the dark. But if you could choose a training location where you could go, where would you go and which three people would you take with you?
I would 100% go to St. Moritz because Like, I probably wouldn't be able to breathe there, but yeah. It's beautiful. That'd be my problem. Which three people? I would take, obviously, Sophie, because she would keep me in line.
She'd be wrapped. She'd love to go to St. Moritz.
Yeah. I wonder if Sophie's been there. I feel like she has. She's been in Boulder and done. She's done high altitude in Boulder, I reckon.
Well, if she hasn't, Sophie,
if she hasn't, go first together. Time, yeah. Otherwise, tour guide.
Yeah, definitely Sophie. And I would take my little sister Hannah, because she loves a holiday. She probably wouldn't love doing running as much. No, she does love running, but she just does it for fun. And then my friend Nicole Varant, I would definitely take her because she is a serious runner. She runs ultra marathons, and she's got the Margaret River Ultra coming up very soon. So she would love something like that, actually. It'd be amazing. Yeah, I think they'd be my three people.
Good setup for a training camp, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very good, mate. Thanks for answering those ones. Zachary, have you got any more questions there, mate?
I think we've covered a fair bit of it. Yeah, I think, we're good. I think it was just great to hear more about your running, and obviously we're excited to see how you go at Great Ocean Road Half and just follow the journey. Have you thought beyond that for 2020?
Yeah, want to do another marathon this year. With Soph and I have talked about doing Shepparton, Chris, because I sort of didn't want to do a really busy one. Like, I got a little bit sick of I did Melbourne for 10 years in a row, and it's just gotten busier and busier. And so last year I found it really overwhelming, like just people everywhere, and which is great, but I think I'm a little bit just wanting a bit more peace at this point. So yeah, we sort of thought Shepparton, but that could change. We might, I don't know, pick somewhere else, or but that's sort of the rough plan. And then beyond that, I don't know, probably just recover for a while and and pick something else later in the year, maybe.
A bucket list marathon down the track? Is there one overseas that you'd love to tick off?
Do you know what? This is probably absolutely ridiculous, but I would love to do Boston. And I don't know if I could ever do it, but I just watched the movie about the bombings, and I would just love to go and do it just to be a part of it. Like, but any overseas marathon would be an amazing experience. Just to, you know, go to Europe and run over there would be incredible. So I would love to do that at some point, probably in the next few years, hopefully, because over the hills.
Boston, any of the majors, it's really cool to set your sights on. So, you never know.
Yeah.
See you out there.
We'll see. We'll see. But, anything overseas would be very cool.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for jumping on and, giving us the time and letting the listeners in on your running journey. So, appreciate that. People can jump on and follow you on Strava and, maybe there'll be CRs popping up off the back of you creating these segments.
Do you know what? I actually don't even know how to create one, but I'm going to work it out. Suddenly I'll be seeing all these people running around Corop in the mornings.
Might make a little venture over, try and steal some of those.
Like an early morning run over here, mate. So, might be able to sneak out there and pinch a few crowns, who knows.
You should. It's not too far for you.
No, it's about 45 minutes, I believe.
Yeah.
I know he took you around the Botan recently. And
pitch black.
Yeah.
Good.
The mayor of the Botan. Was he I'm no doubt there was a lot of well wishes out there when you were running with Chriso.
Oh, it was great fun. We just chatted the whole time, didn't we? It was nice to run with someone because like I said, I don't normally get to do that. So it was good to just have a chat, and then you kind of forget how much time's passed and then you're done before you know it. So thank you, Chris, because I know you weren't really supposed to do that run.
No, it sort of wasn't on the plan, but that was good. It was great for you to be able to come over and sort of meet some of the Run to PB guys over here and sort of get amongst the runners club. And Yeah, I know you've been having a chat with Soph, and we'll hopefully see you sort of every couple of Tuesdays for a few sessions, hopefully in the lead up to Shepparton. But yeah, and who knows, maybe I can convince you or maybe Soph to let you come and run some of our handicaps as well.
Yes, I will be over there next Tuesday, Chris. That's the plan.
Very good.
And I did see those the cross-country handicaps, but they're sort of falling at awkward times with other things.
So no, that's okay.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah, I would love to give them a go, though. It sounds like lots of fun. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Great stuff. All right, thanks, Laura. And, yeah, we'll be in touch. And I know the listeners will keep following along. So thanks again. And we'll have to catch up later in the year and see how you're progressing.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been lots of fun. Nice chatting to you both.
Lovely chatting to you. Take care.
Thank you. You too. See ya.
So, big weekend of international events. So we mentioned earlier in that interview with Andy's run at Hamburg, massive run there from coach Andy Buchanan, running his 2:10.20. So that was exciting. And then following that was the London Marathon.
Oh, mate, it was a massive night. Just watching Andy go about his business and run a 2-minute PB equal, I think he's at ninth. He's in the top 10 fastest Australian males of all time over the marathon. So, yeah, it was pretty cool following the splits and watching the video of that. Unfortunately, my German skills are very poor, so I didn't have a clue what was happening in the race other than just being able to watch along with the footage. But almost as soon as Hamburg finished, London started and it was on. And we had a number of Run to PB athletes over there, mate. Another one of Sophie's athletes, Claire Kennedy, had a run and she equaled her PB, I believe. Claire went around in 3 hours, 38 minutes and 42 seconds, and I believe may have had a little toilet stop along the way, but just phenomenal run. Absolutely love the crowd. I mean, I've seen some video footage of on the live stream, yes, you can get an appreciation of it, but being actually down there on ground level and being amongst it, I've scoured YouTube just to Ben Parks has actually got a ripper of a video for those that follow Ben on YouTube, but it was deafening. It was deafening. Yeah. The whistles and the bells and people slamming the fence and the little clapper things that you sometimes see at the footy. Like, it was just the atmosphere. I had goosebumps just listening to it. Mate, I'm on the other side of the world in a completely different time zone, so I can't even begin to imagine what it must have felt like there. But
I've mentioned this about 20 times when we talk about London, but the year I did it, I had to run away from the fence because it was too loud. It was deafening. Like, it was...
Wow.
At the start, you're like, how awesome is this? This is amazing. Like, you're just 5-6 deep and just the noise is deafening, but to the point where I was actually running in the middle of the road to avoid the crowd because it was too loud. Like, it was crazy. And just the way it shuts down a city like London and it takes over the city, and it just, people go out and support it, and it's not nothing else. I mean, I've done Chicago, and it's loud in parts, but not nowhere near as what it was like at London. And at London, going over the bridge Tower Bridge is absolutely phenomenal. You get goosebumps and you're going through it 20-21k and you're trying to concentrate, but it's just like people are just going bananas. So and these Run to PB athletes that we saw go around, and I was so pumped to go over. We saw read their profiles on the blog, and we saw some of the sessions they've done, some of the K's and training they've put in, and then just, you get on a plane and you're flying over to chase a dream, and then you don't, man, it's hard to PB at London. Like, it's just not an easy course to PB because you've got so many people, and the conditions can be not so great, but it's, you know, to line up and then to go and equal your PB, you got to take that. And then we had a few others going. Nick McDermott, one of your Bendigo Bats fellow athletes, wasn't at gels because he had bigger fish to fry at London Marathon, mate.
No, he absolutely did. Obviously, Nick we had on relatively recently, and he was over there. And I think it was cool. Like, Nick's put in a massive training block and was in super shape, yet his focus was raising money for dementia. Which was the whole purpose of the trip, really. The marathon, I guess, was the icing on the cake. But, mate, he absolutely put on a show. Took a big chunk of time out of his PB. Ended up running 3:03:42, and I know Brady was absolutely stoked for him. And I've seen some of the photos, and mate, that smile was literally from ear to ear. And it just, again, in his comments, was just full of, like, the atmosphere was absolutely amazing and just blew him away.
Yeah, and I think people go over expecting it's going to be a big deal, and then they get there and the enormity of it takes over. And I'm about to speak about one of my other athletes, one of my athletes that went around and said the same sort of thing. It's like you get there and you just can't believe how big this event is and what it does and how it can bring you forward. And back to Nico, how about his kid on the race day? You'd be pretty happy with that.
Mate, I absolutely loved it. It's a talent to match your kit. Those that do it well, it looks very good. And Nick, I think he's gone with the Bendigo Bat singlet, which is, you know, quite an understated top. So it's, you know, white top, more of your older style singlet, sort of basic blue piping riding. But he's then gone the bold choice of the pink shorts, which I actually love, but it's hard to pull that off. And he's just a very good sock and shoe combo. Looks like he's rolling the Alpha Flies there, the white pink model, and a beautiful pair of sort of white and sort of, I don't know if it's whether it's like a navy piping on the socks or a black, but you throw that together and Nick, that's very, very impressive. And he's also got a Bendigo Bats hat on too.
Bendigo Fractal hat on. And but there is, I think, Andy Buchanan, who must have been celebrating his run, but scrolling through Strava, obviously looking at his athletes, did mention in the comments that he might need a new Bendigo Bat singlet off the back of that. Because if you have a look at the image, we'll post it on our Instagram during the week. But yeah, there is a little bit of nipple chafing.
Looks to be on. A bit of chafing in the chest area. Given the amount of rain that came down, I imagine it would be very uncomfortable. But I'm sure at the time, atmosphere, amazing. Probably didn't feel it, but into the shower afterwards, maybe a touch unpleasant. But yes, the that might be the sort of singlet that now goes into a frame for a bit of memorabilia. So I think big PB overseas. Into the pool room, mate. Absolutely. Probably pride of place in a big frame with that medal too. But if you run a nice big PB overseas, the Bats might be able to help Nicky out there with another singlet, I would have thought.
Mate, on to pool room stuff. Ranjini, my athlete over in London, was heading over there for her fifth world major, trying to chase a BQ, which had a Boston qualifier. So she actually had one previously, but then was meant to go to London. So she's got to tick off London. Then COVID happened, so she didn't get a chance to go and run. So now in 2023, finally got a chance and to then go and get that BQ again. So went out there with a goal of bracket 350 and 3:41. So it was a huge run and just so excited. I was very nervous watching the splits come up on Strava, and the training block she put together was just impressive. And it was, we had a half in there. We had a lot of marathon sessions and niggle free, her attention to detail in doing strength work and all the one percenters, did a lot of her training solo. She did a 38K long run solo. She jumped in a couple of races that were sort of simulated workouts just cannot. Yeah, it was pretty emotional for her as well, because she's been chasing this PQ for a while, and she was over there with a travel group, Active Holiday, and they posted I think I sent it on to you, Christo, and just to see the raw emotion when you cross the line and you've achieved something you wanted so desperately, because she is chasing, so Boston will be that fifth star, so sixth star medal, so yeah. Crazy scenes to get across the line, and just so excited for her.
Mate, it's absolutely brilliant. Sort of knowing that also, I guess, training in India would not be the easiest thing, especially given the humidity. I remember hearing about some of her lead-up runs and races that she did, and, you know, they're starting at sort of, 4, 5 a.m. in the morning, and that's, you know, literally the coolest part of the day. So, yeah, she's put an enormous amount of work into this block, and to see essentially go under that Boston qualifier time of around 9, you know, she's beaten it by 9 minutes. The elation, just the pure elation. I guess it may be a bit of relief too, that it's all come together on the day. But did she mention, given the weather conditions, you know, significantly different to what she'd sort of get at home temperature wise, how did she go with the colder weather?
I got on a WhatsApp message when she'd landed, she just couldn't believe how cold it was. And it was a bit, and there was just this is really cold, and then there's rain. And then she went to the expo and she bought a long sleeve top and said, she bought it over with her, a two times year. She's like, I'm thinking about wearing this because of the cold. I think I'm going to need to wear this underneath. And I was like, oh, I don't know if you do. Like, I think, you know, you run 42K. In the end, she didn't. But that was the contrasting of, wow, I've come from running in the humidity and the heat to this is proper cold. But by race day, I think there was a couple of really cold days before London, and then it wasn't too bad on the day. There was a bit of rain though. There was definitely some rain towards the end. It, the way she stuck to her pacing, and that was the big thing, the time, you know, it's being patient. And she reflected on the race saying how just the support of the crowd out there, which we've spoken about, and just, yeah, the environment, and just being able to go out and just jump on the pace. And she did mention even it's with the GPS, it did go a little bit haywire around Canary Wharf, and I can recall that happening for me as well. And there's things like that in a marathon where you've just got to keep your head and relax. And it did get tough. She did mention in a message about 34-35K started to get the cramps and had to really dig deep. And yeah, shoes were wet and heavy, and it's just, you know, it's those last 4 or 5K of a marathon, it is just a real hard slog. And when you've got a time goal and you're pressing, it's what it's all about. And she got a reward.
So this was the completion of her fifth world major. She's run the BQ time. Do all roads lead to Boston now for 2024?
Boston's on now. We're sending a message, next stop Boston. So yeah, she'll go there and complete it.
It's pretty cool. I think, as you said, she's one of the hardest workers that you've got. And, it's really rewarding when you get to see good people achieve great things, particularly when you know the story and the effort that's been invested. So no, it's pretty cool. And as we know, sometimes it doesn't matter how fit you are. The marathon can be very cruel, and for whatever reason you don't have your day, but Ranjini absolutely smashed it. And yeah, look, Boston, it's 11 months really until she's on the start line, hopefully for the sixth one to get the six star medal.
It's on. Excited for it. Hey mate, before we finish up all things London, we teased it out in the intro, there was a few Guinness World Records being attempted, and Some of them are out of control. And we're talking about one the other week, weren't we, about the lawnmower, the guy who ran with the lawnmower. Well, there was someone attempting the fastest marathon carrying a household appliance. I mean, household appliance, you could find a pretty small household appliance, couldn't you, and just
roll. I would have thought so. I mean, and here's the thing, when Mel tagged us in this list, I was absolutely ecstatic. I mean, like, you know, little kid Christmas, there's 7 to 10 different presents to open. You don't know which one to do, so you run around the house, you're all confused. That was pretty much me. When I saw this, there, you know, literally a list of 10 of the most ridiculous things you've ever heard in your life. That's what I'm about. These are the things that I want to know. So three-dimensional things were a bit of a flavor of
weren't they?
So 1, 2, 3 straight off the top. Three-dimensional dinosaur for males, that was being chased. Three-dimensional aircraft, also males, was being chased. But not to be outdone, there was a female chasing a three-dimensional aircraft title as well. Fastest marathon dressed as a knight, I'm hoping that was a full body armor.
Yeah,
you have that to, one. Yeah. Surely, like, we don't want to be like any of this, just a little bit of chain mail. Like, come on, let's. Hopefully, there's some photos of that. I would love to see that. Fastest marathon in a full body inflatable costume. I mean, it's been done. Cool. Household appliance, you could probably cheat your way to that. But here's the cool thing. So fastest marathon dressed as a savory food.
It's pretty ambiguous, isn't it? Like, what, a savory food?
Yeah, I mean, that literally could be anything. Mm. That was a hot dog. It'd be interesting to find what these people actually dressed up as. Fastest marathon dressed as a gingerbread person. Fastest marathon dressed as a crustacean, and fastest marathon dressed as a piggy bank. They were the things that made the top 10. And I thought, you know, okay, it'd be interesting to see how they go. Well, how does this actually work? Like, do they have to qualify and they just get put into a certain thing? But doing a bit of research, mate, since the Guinness World Records is headquartered in London, ratification process is a lot easier. So this is
the majors for world record.
It literally is. Like, there's the 6 majors out there. Well, this is the one. If you want to run a world record dressed as a moron, I mean, you know, in a costume, sorry, I'll use the term moron loosely. This is the place for you. So did you know that there's actually a separate pre-race area the costume wearing record attempters.
Yeah, this is, they use people getting appearance fees here. Like, this is full elite athlete service, names on the bib, pre-race area, probably the race hotel, maybe. They stay in there with, Hassan, Brett Robinson rooming with some of these costume wearing record attempters.
This year we had Kipchoge firing the starter's gun. Next year I wouldn't be surprised if we've got someone dressed as a squirrel. just literally firing it off. Just reading some comments that within the special area for these costume wearing legends, there were people dressed. There was dinosaurs, beer cans, someone dressed as a bone, literally a bone, a strawberry. There was a squirrel in this case, and there was even a charcuterie board. Which quite possibly could have been the person chasing the savory.
Yeah, that was the savory one. Yep, nailed it.
But, apparently.
Very weird call room to be in. Imagine the chat. Yeah.
Just the banter and, like, so who are you dressed by and who's made you?
How many records have you got? Yeah.
Yeah, like, where have you done this before? Can obviously imagine there was quite a lot of laughter. And not everyone dressed up would have been taking it super seriously, because I think you could actually go into the costume wearing record attempt as if you were dressed up. You could have got in there. But,
one that wasn't on that list, mate, that caught our eye was a bit of, I reckon it's very crafty guerrilla marketing from a 42-year-old dentist who has run the London Marathon in a tooth costume. So, 3:37 took down the 3 hours 37, took the previous record, oh, an hour. So I don't know what happened. If yeah, there was someone else who's done it before, and yeah, she's no stranger to this because she's also biked and run the Austin Ironman as a bumblebee, and in the Whistler Ironman 70.3 in a rainbow 2.22. But yeah, this is a different one going in the 3D tooth.
Yeah, just and probably to be fair, she's probably going to get a bit of wear out of this costume as well, because I believe that the tooth kit has got a bit of a plan to be rolled back out for Halloween as well. So yeah, like sensational effort, like 3:37. Mm. That's a great run. I mean, that's I believe in that in a 42-year-old, that's under the Boston qualifier as well, which I think is 3:40. Mm. If you're in that sort of age bracket. But yeah, a tooth costume as for a dentist.
Do you reckon had the alpha flies on as well? The
alpha flies in, yep. Mate. Her work colleagues have got to love that, don't they?
Yeah, that is really putting the brand out there.
There was a few high fives when she rolled into work. Well, maybe not on the Monday, because I reckon you probably deserve a day off work if you've run a world record for a marathon. Even Kipchoge, you get a day off work the day after he breaks a world record. But yeah, Amy, I reckon she's rolled into work on the Tuesday, there would have been a few well done's and high fives thrown surely for that run.
Really impressive run, and it's out of control seeing all these, and the fact they've got their special attempt bibs on when they're doing it, and there's a big contingent of them going around, so it's very exciting to see those results come through.
It staggers me they've got their own start area.
Yeah, that is taking it to another level, isn't it?
Do you think that's something we could potentially see at Sydney? Because I know Sydney is gunning to be the seventh major. And yeah, there's going to, you know, paces. So there'll be elites, the sub-elites, start group A, start group B, and then start group C is for costume wearers.
Would be something they could look at for sure. Like, yeah, obviously people are really getting behind it. Maybe. People like us who are just on the edge of the seat to see who's going to crack that world record.
These are the sorts of things that I think we need to have a chat to Mitch about.
Mm. Speaking of Mitch, we'll try and pin him down for next week. He was late out, and I reckon he had a date. he doesn't obviously listen too much, so I reckon I'm just going to call him out.
I can't believe he's ditched us to go out for dinner.
Yeah, he forgot he had lined up a date. So Mitch, you'll be back, and we'll get a bit of an update. I reckon we'll drill him, because you know what he's like. He could commentate the date, wouldn't he? Surely he'll give us a bit of a. Maybe we'll just give him a call, get a live commentary update, see how he's tracking.
He has that. I don't know. I think this is. We should save this, I guess, a little bit for when he's on. But Mitchy's just started up a brand new Instagram page. Just
yes, get around highlights. That. We'll put that in the links. Yeah,
it is absolutely brilliant. So if we'll have to ask him when he's on, if he can actually just flesh it out into everyday life, just whether I don't know, yeah, commentate to, you know, two elderly people going for a walk down the street.
He would definitely do it.
Kids riding bikes in the neighborhood, you know, hoops rolling down hills. Doesn't matter what it is. When this man commentates, I listen. So, yeah, things. And I think, Mitch, we might need to get into him about the quick questions as well. I think we can have a bit of fun with Mitch with those.
Oh, yeah, we get a full hour with Mitch. Fancy nose one, I reckon. But, Mitchy, for those who are in Melbourne this weekend, it's the Run the Tan, and Mitchy will be on the mic there. So
live all morning.
He will be live. He will be absolutely up and about. And yeah, the showcase is happening. It's got big loaded field. Yeah, you mentioned.
Drop us some names, mate. Who do you know? Who's coming?
You've got Jai Edwards. in the men's, you've got Jai Edwards, Ryan Gregson, and Matty Clark, who are headlining the men's field. So got, absolute guns there. You've got the Olympians. You've got a previous national record holder with Gregson. You've got the up-and-coming Jai Edwards. So, yeah, all heading around the TAM. But the women's is, mate, the women's race is going to be absolutely stacked, and it is a showdown again. You're getting Abby Caldwell, Lyndon Hall, and Jess Hull going at it over the 10. Very, very interesting to see how that all pans out, mate. Talking, your Australian record holder in there. You've got a Commonwealth bronze medalist in Abby Caldwell, Lyndon Hall, who, she holds.
Lyndon's in good shape at the moment. So
current all-time record holder. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think Jen Gregson is listed as well. So coming off that half, which she debuted last week, so that'll be interesting. Big money up for grabs. They're doing a great job in terms of raising money, via the charity element. They're aiming to raise $100K. James, Darren Templeton, who's done an amazing job behind the scenes, pulling this together, does it every year, puts a mountain of work in. So, yeah, if you want to get along to the TAN, there's also a King of the Hill event as well. So you're going to see Joseph Dang, I reckon, was on there, and maybe Kat Bissett having a crack up the Anderson Street Hill. So King and Queen of the Hill. So got to finish the rate. You got to finish the lap. So you still got to get yourself around there. But it'll be interesting to see how they attack that. Because do you roll it, you do a few strides down the towards the hill and then just rip at it, or do you sort of do it at a steady pace and then roll it? Yeah, I don't know. Ooh,
So I tell you, all I know is that the lactic that would be in my body about halfway up that hill if I was going flat out would probably mean I'd have to crawl the remaining 3.6K.
Yeah. You got to finish it in under 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would rule me out.
It's pretty solid. When you've absolutely blasted it up the hill, so be worth seeing that. But, it'd be a great event. There's a lot of celebrities getting around. Might be some footy players, I reckon. Just looking at the instance. Stephen Baker, one of the old St Kilda player. He's on there. Bunch of celebrities going around. There's all the details on Run the TAN. But the TAN will be, Mitchie will be just up and about on the mic down there. So go down there, say hi to Mitchie, and see some of our best runners in Australia going around the TAN.
No, and that's it. I think we're pretty spoiled to be able to have an event like that, literally, in our own backyard, where a lot of these ladies and gentlemen were running literally on the track and on TV at the World Cross Country. So to have them in one place at the one time, literally running the same loop that most of us, or that live in and around Melbourne, would get to run, on a morning basis, is pretty cool. So it'd be interesting to see if there's going to be some times that need to be updated on that top 10 list when it's all said and done.
Hull or Caldwell for you? Or Hall?
I don't know. Whenever an option to pick Jess Hull comes up, it's pretty hard to go against her, and it wouldn't matter what it is. Lyndon ran well at AV. She ran real strong, and sort of finished not really that tight, I don't think. So she's in good form, but I suppose, look, given the choice of the three, I couldn't go past Jess.
Yeah, the way Jess soloed that national champs was pretty crazy. So it'll be very, very cool to see that one live. So get along. But mate, we'll be able to have a chat. We'll try and get Mitchie if he hasn't got another date lined up next week to give us a recap.
We'll see if we can book in early and make sure that Mitch's date next week is with us.
All right, mate. You have a good training week and get ready for that sub 35 attempt.
Yeah, sounds good. I can't wait. Cheers, mate. See ya.
See you, mate.